listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. From somewhat beautiful downtown Columbia, South Carolina, on a cloudy day. This is the Local Bar. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and of all the places you can be, you have decided to spend a few moments with us today. For that, we are incredibly grateful. Hope you have had a good couple of weeks. Been kind of a busy time around here. Had a couple things happen over the past 2 weeks, and it's not that we necessarily were affected too much by any of this stuff, but the people we were looking at interviewing were. Schedule got kind of thrown off a little bit. Had a big storm kind of roll through this side of the world, so everything's fine, everybody's fine, but just kind of got thrown off with a couple of other things that were going on. So it's good to be back. I've gotten a lot of emails lately, and I got one in particular last week that kind of they kind of sent me down this little path that I've been thinking for the past few days. I've been needing to do a show, but I couldn't really find an interview out of one that I've got recorded or one that I wanted to do that really kind of fit this. And I've got a busy weekend getting ready to start up. So I figured what the heck, let me just go ahead and do this one myself. So you got just me today. Sorry. I wish there was more to tell you, but this is the way it is. But let me start off with, before I get to that email, let me tell you a little funny thing that's happened to old Chad here, a couple weekends ago. So, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, Maria and I took my daughter down to the beach to see my folks. Wanted them to meet her and wanted to spend a little bit of time down there, have some fun. And my daughter is great at traveling in the car. I mean, she is, oh my gosh, she is the absolute best. I don't know how we got that lucky with this child. But you throw her in the car, get her an iPhone or her little tablet, and she'll talk to you a little bit. She'll watch her show. She'll play her games. She's good for the three-hour ride down to the beach. I mean, and she doesn't ever have to stop to pee. It's the craziest thing in the world. I don't know how she does it. It's the easiest child in a car ever. So we're just kind of rocking and rolling along, enjoying the scenery, having a good time, three of us. And Maria's a little nervous about meeting the folks. A little nervous. We'd stopped and stayed with my sister actually in halfway there, basically on the way in, because we left a little bit later than we thought we would, which was great because we got to spend some time with them and her kids and her husband. We had a blast. It was good to be able to hang out with all of them. So we got up early, just drove down, easy hour and a half drive, right? Everything's going well. You know, there's a couple of things that I stress about. I know what my major stressors are, and I try to make sure that I'm focusing on them. I'm kind of haven't been doing that lately, but I need to. But there's one that's always kind of miffed me off, and I think I let my attitude get the best of me with it. But it's whenever I have a problem with my car. Now I don't mean to sound like old man Chad here, but I do have a little bit of an issue, because since I'm in sales and marketing, and I've spent, since about 2000, I've spent every day of my day in my office is basically on the highway. It's on the roads. That's my office. You know, I have great views wherever I go, pretty much. You know, being an outside sales rep is great until, like, the rainy days, and it's awful. But I've been doing that. That's my office, right? And so I know it's my office, and I know that I'm in my car a lot, and I'm a pretty safe driver. And so I like to make sure that I'm focused as much as I can on the road. I try my best not to look at my phone or text messages when I'm driving. I absolutely do not look at emails because they're way too long. I will always use the voice over commands in my car. That's me. I'm Mr. Safe Guy, right? Which sounds all good and noble and whatever, until I see somebody who is texting in their car or swerving or doing something because they're just being dumb, and I really lose my stuff. I'm not saying road rage level, but we're getting kind of close. I have to remind myself that life's gonna be okay. You know, after I see somebody texting, you know, you text at a light, I'm fine. I'll beep the horn. We all move along. It's fine. But, you know, while you're driving, especially on the highway, because I don't want to go down this road, but I've seen horrific accidents. I've seen deaths on the highway. I've seen that. Just because if you're in your car as much as outside sales reps are, you eventually see this stuff. And, you know, a lot of times accidents do happen, but when they happen because somebody's being an idiot and somebody could get hurt, that's when I get really miffed off. You can probably tell where this is going. We were, I mean, not even a mile from where we turn on to 17 and then just a quick jaunt down to my pay. We're 15 minutes away from my folks' house. And some guy in a huge truck wasn't paying attention, hit the girl behind us so hard it slammed her up into us, destroying almost my trunk, broke the bumper, the steel bumper inside in half. But luckily, everybody was okay. Everybody's fine. But I feel my car move. I hear the crunch. I know what happened. Immediately look back. Bryn's crying, but she seems to be okay. Maria's okay. She jumps out. She's checking on Bryn. Everybody's fine. I check on the young lady behind me. She's freaking out, like you do. You know, when you're in an accident. She's a young girl, probably early 20s or so, I'd guess. Tell her to cut off her car and just calm down for a second. Just stay in there. It's bike week down at the beach, so a bunch of bikers going by, about four or five of them pulling in front of us. Two of the ladies hop off, they're nurses. They're checking on everybody. It's very, very, just everybody was really cool, the way they reacted and the way they helped out. And I'm sitting there stewing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just staring back at the dude in that truck. And I should have gone back and checked on him, but I saw that he was okay. His son was in the car with him, and I'm just fuming. I mean, here I am at the beach. I want my girlfriend to meet my parents. This is going somewhere. It's just something that needs to happen. My daughter's in the car with me. You know, I worry about her safety. I mean, I made sure she was okay, all right? Just calm down, people. She was okay. Crying was slowing down. She was fine. She was kind of into it. She wanted to check on everybody. But I'm up there I'm thinking about a million things. Now that I know everybody's okay and everybody's safe, I'm mad because my car is all dinged up. I'm gonna have some hassle getting this crap fixed. And I don't want to deal with insurance companies and say somebody saying he said, she said. Like, I'm thinking everything in the future. Now that I know everything's okay, I immediately go into, well, hell, Monday's going to stink. Actually, I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't drive this thing home. I mean, the trunk was all kind of smashed in and everything. So my mom and dad come, and they pull up in the road because they were going to pick up Maria and Bryn and just get them out of there. Even though everybody was fine, just go ahead and get them out of there. And they pull up, And I guess silver lining of this, Maria wasn't so worried about meeting my folks because she was all jazzed up from the wreck that she wasn't really that worried about it that much anymore. So they met in the middle of the highway. So it was kind of nice. And she went back with them, and Dad and I kind of sat back there and talked. And as I'm sitting there with the preacher, and we're just kind of shooting the small talk and waiting for the highway patrolman to come up and talk to me, I look back at the boy. That was in the truck. The truck was totaled. It was, the front end was so smashed in, the engine was smashed apart. I mean, it had to have been totaled. There is no way. The young lady in between it seemed to hardly get hit. We still can't figure out how in the world that happened. But I look back there and I looked at his son and I noticed something. And it took me a second to kind of process it, but something hit me that was incredibly important for me to take in at that moment, but also incredibly important for me to take away from that moment. And as my dad and I were speaking, he said something at the time it was kind of processing for me, and it really struck a chord. I want to get in more about that in a couple minutes, but first I want to talk a little bit about something that's been going on over the past week or so, And a cool thing that I got to do today at lunch, and a couple of conversations that kind of fit with this story, that something just tells me with all the emails that I've been getting, especially that one that really kind of struck a chord with me, I think there's a couple of stories that I need to share. And I figure today's a good old day for me just to sit down with you and swap a couple of stories. Leave certain beers in my fridge because they leave the worst ones. I guess because nobody wants to drink them, but I guess they don't think I'm going to. Well, they made a mistake there today. So I got to do something really neat today. I got to have lunch with a guy that I haven't seen in at least we were trying to figure it out today, at least 12 years. A guy that I was really close to in high school, very close to in high school. We did a lot of stuff together, whether it was through church or just being friends. And he was one of those guys, and we all have them, but he was definitely one for me. Whenever we'd see each other, it didn't matter how much time had passed, we still knew who each other was. And we would usually, a couple of times I remember in college that we reconnected. It was a lot of drinking as we're catching up with each other and hanging out. And it was so funny to see him today. I think it's the first time we've ever sat and caught up and drinks were flowing because it was during the workday and it was at lunch. But it was so good to see him. He's an old friend of mine. For any of you that know Matt Cunningham, we got to sit down and chat today. And what a breath of fresh air to run back into that cat, see how he's still living his life the way that he believes he should. He's still got that big old smile that never seems to erase off of his face. And he's got four boys. I don't know how he still smiles. Like, I really don't. I really don't know. His poor wife. No, it was great to catch up with him. And we had a lot of fun walking down Amnesia Lane this afternoon, kind of doing the thing that you do when you first catch up with somebody, like, have you talked to this person, that person, what's your life been like, kind of seeing what each other's into. And, man, it is refreshing when you see someone who still has their beliefs intact from what's the best way to say this? Well, when we were in high school, we all had our pie in the sky kind of ideals. Like, Matt's always been this incredibly happy, positive guy. And now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, it's been 12 years. He could have been like crippling depression for six of these years. I don't know the guy, but in everything that I've seen from him and everything that I can see in his life now, I know that's not the case. I know that he still holds strong to his beliefs. Talking with him today was just as easy as talking with him when we were in high school and stuff, and it was really neat. What's funny about this is I saw another guy, and what kind of sparked me to try to contact Matt is I was at a concert with Maria a few weeks back, and this band that she really really likes, and she bought these tickets because she's dying to see this band. She's not been able to see them live, I think, or she missed them last year, something to that effect. So we went to go see them, and great band, had a lot of fun. The whole concert, opening band, was fantastic as well. And but as we're sitting there, I'm kind of looking in the stadium. I'm like, wow, this is a great place to have a music view. I mean, heck, even if you look in the top up there, that upper deck, it still looks great. Oh my God, that's Dan. That's what I was saying. You got to give me a second. So I run over to the side, and I'm yelling at this guy that I haven't seen in forever. And we talked afterwards in the concert. Is a guy that I grew up with, went to high school with. He was in my church, my dad's church, and in my youth group growing up in middle school and high school. And it was so much fun to catch up with him. And that there was something about our conversation. It was like I'm going to send a Facebook message to Matt Cunningham, whether he likes it or not. We're going to meet up soon. And of course, life is busy. It's taken us a couple of weeks, but we got to today. And you know, it was nice. It was really nice to be able to sit and do that and catch up with both of those fools and see where they are in their lives and see, you know, how life has changed. And what's really great is to see. I remember Dan and Matt were two of the guys that all the ladies just loved back in the high school days. And I am the one that is apparently aged better than all three out of the three of us. So it's really funny for me to be the good looking one now. And I'm only saying that so if these two fools are actually listening, I know I'll actually hear something from them. But I know neither one of them are. So I actually kind of do mean that. But it was really great to meet up with them. And both of them have this. This similar quality about them that I find fascinating. As life has moved on, as decades have gone by since I've really caught up with some of these, especially with Dan, it's been at least 20 years. Am I that old? Yeah, I'm that old. Oh my God. You know, do you catch yourself doing that? Like, I still think when people say 20 years ago, I'm thinking 1995. Like, I just, oh gosh. Wait, that would be right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Oh, when people say 10 years ago, excuse me. Right? I don't know. It's just excuse me. I'm done going down a rabbit hole. I don't need to. Anyway, it was really good to catch up with both of them. And one of the things that I really liked about talking with them is there was this different quality about both of them. You know, when you become a parent, you get married, you have kids. There's something that seems to happen to guys. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's some guys, it's just that they calm down and probably because they needed to. But a lot of times when I see out of folks is they kind of become a little bit more introverted until they find like whatever their outlet is. The thing about it though is my life with Dan, my life with Matt when I was growing up, the things that intertwined all of us was my outlet. And so there was something about seeing the two of them still being, in a lot of ways, the same, you know, gregarious, open, fantastic guys that I remember them being. It really kind of filled my soul a little bit. But it did for like two reasons. Because number one, it made me realize that in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm the same guy I was back about 20 years or so ago. It's nice to see that that doesn't really mean that you haven't grown up, because sometimes I worry about that. But the other thing is, it's great when you know that people are fantastic when they're younger, and you really worry that the world's going to change them, that it's good to see that it hadn't. I mean, it probably has for the better. There's a lot about both of them. You know, they both said a couple of things today, or Matt did today, and Dan did a few weeks ago. They both said something similar in a couple of cases. It's very interesting for me to hear that. I kind of get an idea about where they are in their lives and where they are with who they are and their careers and their families. It was really neat to see that, and you know, and I'm blessed to be able to run into friends like that. It is a blessing to be able to still keep up with people in the past and. Just it was wonderful thing to be able to do a couple weeks ago and today. The reason I bring that up is I've gotten a lot of emails about people and their friends. And strangely enough, I've got somebody that's close to me that's been talking about their friends as well. Because friends can kind of be kind of a struggle. You know, it's one of these things that as we grow, your lives are different. People start getting pulled in different directions, and then you start dating somebody, and your friends start giving you junk. Now, my friends have always been really good with me about that. I talk about Tommy, and Matt's been on the show a couple of times, and those guys, they'll give me junk about it when all of a sudden I'm spending time with my girlfriend and instead of them. But, I mean, come on, her legs are a lot better than theirs. I'm just, you know, this is going to happen. But, you know, nobody ever really gets jealous about it. What I'm talking about, though, is like when your friends suddenly don't want you to keep growing. Was it the old Allman Brothers song, and Nobody Left to Run With Anymore? It's like, you know, yeah, I hear that song and I'm like, it's probably because everybody's kind of grown up a little bit. They're rock star. You know, some people put the drugs down and may carry the drinking with them a little bit, but there's a time and place for everything. It's called college. And then you can try to figure life out, right? In all seriousness, there is something about people that are your friends, but they may be older, they may be younger. It doesn't mean they match up in age with you, but they compare their lives to you a lot. And when they see you succeeding, they may not see it. I mean, some of it may be vindictive, but maybe some of it's not. Maybe they just don't want you to go away because you're their security blanket. And really what you're supposed to be, maybe in some of these cases, be a mother bird and push them out the nest. I've seen this from a lot of you lately, some of the questions that I've been getting. And I'm going to tell you that I think it's really just a part of growing up. Like I'm lucky that I can see my friends, Matt and Dan, and how they are. You know, I keep up with Kevin. You've heard me talk about him and his wonderful family, Julie, who's been on the show. You know, it's some of that's really fun, but I've got friends that haven't. I've got friends that have gone down dark paths and found themselves in sad situations. And I really hate that. But there's a thing where you got to realize that sooner or later, as we grow, people are going to be your friends either through thick and thin, or they're going to be your friends for right then. It's just, you want every friend to be a friend forever. Now, I'm lucky just with the way that I've moved around. I've gotten to meet a lot of people, and it's weird. There's this weird quality where, because I knew people in sound bites in, like, you know, like 4 year periods, and then I was out of their lives because that's just the way we were growing up. I don't think people expect me to be at everything. Like if I don't show up, no one's really surprised, because I kind of have that. I have that accreditation now to where I'm allowed to just kind of blow in like the wind. And so I see some of you whose friends, you know, you've grown up with them all your life, or you've gotten really close with them at a very important time. And we think that there's going to be you know, forever out of that. I mean, heck, we can even take this a step further and talk about relationships. I mean, you meet somebody, it's great, but whoever married the first person they dated? I mean, I've heard stuff like that, but that sounds awfully boring to me. I've got a few lewd jokes about that, but I'm not going to say them because I know my dad listens to this. But there's a lot about that I think is just a little bit overblown. You know, life is really a series of hellos and goodbyes. And I think in either, you know, actual romantic relationships or friendships, there's a couple of things that we have to remember. You have to have patience. Like, you really have to have patience with people. And it goes both ways. When your friends, you know, when your life is moving forward and your friends are trying to hold on to you, sometimes you have to be a little patient with it, because maybe something's going on with them that you don't know. Or maybe something's going on with them that you know about that for some reason they don't want to feel abandoned. That seems to be a big thing for people in their late 20s, early 30s. That there's this idea that life is passing them by because maybe they haven't found the wife or husband they're supposed to yet. And, you know, they start, you know, comparing everybody's life on Facebook to them. And you can get, oh my gosh, you can get so wrapped up in that, especially if you're from the South. I believe Hank and I've talked about this before. I think if you're from the South, it's more like that. And I think, you know, with romantic relationships, you have to be too. I mean, people in their 20s and 30s still trying to figure themselves out. People that somewhere, you know, when you're in your 30s, you kind of are who you are. You'll tweak some things and maybe change some beliefs, but you've pretty much got down who you're going to be. And then, you know, if you're like me, all of a sudden mid-30s, the late 30s, you're dating again. You got a kid. Other people have kids. You're trying to figure that kind of stuff out. And you have to be patient. You have to be patient with people. Because, you know, any kind of rush, any kind of, well, why aren't you where I am, just makes them feel like inadequate. And that's probably one of the things they're dealing with in the first place. But there's another side of that, too. When you're the people that don't want to let people go, you need to be a little bit more patient. You need to realize that you're going to be okay. You got to realize that they're not going to fix you. Like, it's time for you to figure it out. And you got to let them live their life, because they are trying to do what you so greatly want to do. And so be a little patient. Let them take their time. They're not abandoning you. Don't make them feel that way either. A real friend wouldn't do that. Same thing with romantic relationships too. I think, you know, I date a girl that's got an ex-husband. They've got to deal with stuff. He's kind of needy. They get involved in some bickering, some fighting. I don't want to say fighting, but some arguments about stuff every now and then, because we're trying to figure out how to meld all this together. I'm patient with it. Like, I understand. She'll ask me for my advice sometimes. I think sometimes she just wants to fill me in on stuff. But I'm patient with it. Hey, you gotta go figure that. You go figure that out. Whatever you need to do, it's fine. And you know, sometimes people need their space to go out and fight their own battles. They love that you're on the sidelines cheering for them, but sometimes you can't go on the field. You got to be the coach. You got to be the cheerleader. You got to be the teammate that goes out there for defense. They're out there playing offense. It's just something different. There's nothing wrong with that, but you have to be patient with the other people in your life. The other thing, though, and this doesn't I'm not saying this is an argument to everything that I just said, but you got to be firm, too. Like, you can't let your friends walk all over you. And every now and then, you can be patient with them, but maybe every now and then you need to say, hey, you're absolutely not being fair, and you need to quit being such a crybaby. Sometimes if you're a friend and you're looking at it from the other angle and your friend's maybe going down a bad road, yeah, maybe that's something that you need to think about too. I know relationships are this way. I mean, I get kicked in my butt every now and then. I've been put in my place a little bit over the past couple months. And I'm open to that. This kind of happens every now and then. Somebody's got to pull that leash back a little bit. Remind you that this relationships are two person things, and you don't need to act like it's one and an inferior or something like that. I'm not that bad, but a couple of times, you know, you got to be reminded about that stuff. You know, there's that balance between being patient, being firm that we have to do in the relationships that we have. So why do I bring this up? Because the thing that I see going on right now with where we are in the world, with the emails that I'm getting, and with the moments I've had with other people in my real life, people that are close to me, people that I see at work, is I feel like there's just a big storm that we've been dealing with. I feel like there's a huge storm we've been dealing with. And I'm not just talking about this stupid political season that we're in. Look, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. I know some of you are fully behind one of these candidates or the other. It is great that you can be passionate about that. I am glad that you have found that, because the polls show, and every statistic you can find anywhere, is that most people are really kind of disenchanted with this election. So if I'm not knocking on you. If you found someone that you really, really love, that's great. I'm happy for you. Go vote. Do what you got to do. You know, go out there and preach. Do what you want to do. But there is something that we've learned over the past few years. So being in sales, one of the things that I come across all the time are people that have been in sales longer than me, or managers that are, I don't know why they're not retired yet. You know, when you watch Mad Men, the 1950s are completely different than what today is. I'm going to toot my own horn here a little bit. I'm a really good salesperson. Nobody ever asked me why I say that, probably because I'm just braggadocious about everything. But I'm a really good salesperson because I've had a couple of guys in my life that were extremely good salespeople that let me in on a little secret. And it's very, very simple. If you do what everybody else does, then you're just like everybody else. Don't be afraid to be different. I've had to learn about the timing of my humor in sales. I've got it now, but I would never tell somebody who's brand new in sales to use humor the way that I do in a situation, because I've messed it up enough to where I know how to professionally use it. I know when to let my extremely loud voice that carries absolutely fill a room, because there's something important I want everybody to know, and I feel like the conversation's going in a good way, and then I know how to quiet it down. Yes, I know a lot of you don't think I know how to quiet it down, but I actually can if I'm really paying attention. But I also know something, Matt and I talked about this today, and I knew, you know, I've always known Matt was this way too, that I've been in plenty of situations where I've said, yeah, this is cool, you don't need my stuff. Like, I could have sold it to them, but they wouldn't need it. And the reason I do that is because I know that every time I come back there again with something, they look at me as I'm as if I'm a consultant, as if I'm on their team. And the return that I get from that is greater than what I would have gotten if I'd have sold them a piece of equipment and they would have never been able to afford it, or they'd have been mad at it and they would have felt like they got quote unquote sold, instead of having a partner who would help them overcome what they are. There you go. You want to bring me in to talk to all your salespeople? I just gave you all my tricks. Actually, that's not even the half of it. But that's at the core of what I have. But out of all of it, the one thing that I've always known to be very careful of is talking bad about the competition. You can point out some bad things, but if you sit there and you spend the whole time, then all they're going to think you are is an anti-whatever that is, not an answer to it. I was talking to Taylor the other day, and she was telling me, my friend that works in Skilled, I think the third or fourth interview I ever had on the show, and she was telling me about a company that was coming in and trying to get their business, and they were just snots to them. They're snots. Like, they're sitting there this the whole time, and they're like, you use this company? And all they did was talk bad about what they were. And heck, you know, Taylor and I used to work for that company. We know they have their faults. That's fine. Like, we know that you want to come in and you want to say where you're better. Well, say where you're better. Don't sit there and harp on that other one the whole time. I think this political season, we've just forgotten that. And there are, I'll see on CNN every now and then, they'll roll out something where they talk about how negative campaign ads affect certain people in certain ways. And when we look back, I kid you not, when we look back at the elections, whether they're presidential or local in the 1980s, that negative campaigning showed a lot more, showed that to incite people to where there was better voter turnout than the campaigns that weren't running negative ads in the 1980s. It is 2016. They're talking 30 years ago. They're talking about why negative ads work. You know, I've seen salespeople that like to use this certain type of sales style, and I'm not going to say it in case some of you use it. And I watch them, and part of the reason why I've been a successful salespeople is when I know that's what you use, it's the easiest thing to beat. Like, it's trickery, it's not honest, and it makes people mad at you. But you think they're going to have forgotten about it by the next time you come around. What happens is the world's a lot smaller nowadays. Internet's made everything a lot smaller. Stuff gets around a lot quicker. People can share ideas. They can share prices, too. If you're not honest and open, blunt with folks, you're going to get your butt kicked right out the door. So we deal with a political season where we just feel like everybody's, I mean, we all feel like everybody's dishonest, but we feel like all it is a lot of negative stuff. I get that. We got a lot going on in the world as far as, you know, our disagreements with other countries. Hank and I've talked about the stuff that's going on a little bit with the Black Lives Matter movement, or the people that are surrounded with it, the police officers, the issues that we're having in our own country as far as race is concerned. There are religious things that are going on out there. One of the biggest things that's not talked about right now is the incredible rise in sex trafficking that we have in our own country. If you live in South Carolina, I've got some news for you, some little digging that I did not too long ago. One of the top, if not the top, places where sex trafficking happens and transportation occurs is I-20, right through South Carolina, Georgia to Alabama. Yep. Right in our own backyard. There's a lot of negative stuff. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of things that are taking our focus nowadays, and we're either paying attention to it too much because it's thrown in our face on our Facebook page, like with the political stuff and everything, or we're missing out on what's happening right underneath our nose, and then when we find out about it too late, everybody's looking around like, why didn't somebody do something? Well, the proof's been there for the longest time. And what we do is we seem to just get mad. We get mad with each other because we've forgotten two things, that as far as relationships are concerned, whether they're romantic or friendships, you have to be patient. You can be firm and stand your ground, and that's the way to do it, but you need to be a little bit more patient. Now, there's a lot of you that have turned this show off now. Like, I know a lot of times when it's just me talking, that happens. And I get it. But for those of you that haven't, I'm going to tell you why I think this is important. I almost I almost gave my dad a bunch of hell the other day. So Hurricane Matthew came through and hit a lot of Florida. Well, destroyed so much of Haiti. Hit Florida, came right up the coast, did a lot of damage. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. My sister and her husband live in Florence, which is about an hour and a half away from the coast. They just got power back on Thursday night. I mean, it's a long time. A lot of flooding, a lot of damage. Luckily, we didn't see the landfall and the damage and the deaths that we had years ago with Hurricane Hugo, but we could have. In the late 1980s, we had a major storm come through, right through South Carolina, did a lot of damage on the coast, absolutely destroyed some of the fishing villages like McClellanville, major damage to Hilton Head, but came right on through Columbia, spun off tornadoes right up into Charlotte and all that area. It's Hurricane Hugo. You may have heard about it, you may not have. For those of you that don't know, it was an absolutely devastating hurricane. And it was scary. You know, we went a long time without power. We were worried about drinking water for a very long time. Suddenly felt like a third world country. Trees are down everywhere. You didn't see cars on the street because there were trees everywhere. Just like somebody had dropped trees on us is what it looked like. And it was dangerous wherever you went outside. And I remember a story that my dad tells, and I've told it on the show before, but I'll just kind of briefly recap it. We lived right behind our church. Hugo hit on Thursday night, I believe, and everybody's trying to come together. People are upset. They're worried. Everything from, is everybody okay, to how are we going to pay for this? Are we going to be able to eat? I mean, these were serious things that were going on. And in parts of South Carolina where you never see something like this, it surprised us. And the community pulled together. People with chainsaws out there working all day and night to get trees off people's houses, repair what they could, help them file insurance claims, take pictures. But everybody's nerves were shot too. I remember that Sunday we got up and we walked to the church, and anybody who could get to the church came. And my dad, sitting there basically by candlelight, gave a sermon. We had our service. And one of the things my dad talked about is how he has this prayer, because he doesn't like giving, you know, like 15-minute long prayers at the dinner table whenever we're out somewhere. And it was something where you just look at each other and say, I'm thankful. Are you thankful? And everybody passes around and the last person says, we're all thankful. Amen. Now, it may seem kind of small and trite to you to say a prayer like that, but I want to warn you before you jump to that conclusion to hear the rest of the story. My dad told that story about it because it was right about the time that he came up with that. And he looked at when we talked about everything that we had gone through and how we have to replace stuff, but you can't replace people. Dad looked at the guy in the front pew and said, I'm thankful. Are you thankful? And went all the way around the church. And there are so many times that as I hear my daughter start that up, I think about all the things that may have happened. I think about the people that have come in and out of my lives. I think about the things that could have been disastrous that have not been, or things that were that I was able to get through. And that little prayer actually says it all. It's for my family. It says it all. You can't outpray that prayer if you're a competitive preacher. I'm sorry, you can't. It says everything about who we are as a family and how strong our faith is and why it's that strong. And I love that. And I remember at that service, though, I remember thinking that it was nice that I knew I'd have that. And I always looked at that blessing a little bit different. So my dad's church got hit in this past storm. Luckily, the church was fine. Some of the property damage, I think, the places around them, the piers were absolutely destroyed at the beach. There's a lot of sand on the roads. You know, some people had some flood damage. But everybody was okay, and they're all right. But I remember that Saturday night, Maria and I are sitting around watching TV or something, and I look at my phone, and I check Facebook, and I see that my dad's church isn't going to have service on Sunday. And I almost flipped out. I almost if it hadn't been late at night, I would have called that preacher. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll call him on Sunday. Well, I couldn't do it. I was absolutely livid that out of that story that we have from Hugo, my dad didn't have church. No, don't get me wrong. I understand that you don't want to tell people to come out of their homes, that you don't want to put people in harm's way. But my contention was going to be, if you can open the doors of that church and let the five people that live around there walk to it, you open the doors of that church. I was just. So I called him up on Monday, and I was like, hey, preacher, like, you know, sorry to hear the church got blown away. I was like, no, the church is fine. I was like, really? Because I saw on Facebook that you weren't going to have church, and I always knew if Mike Alexander was going to have church, the church would have had to have been blown away. Well, I got that voice from him, and I knew what he meant, and he said a couple of quick things to me real quick to set me straight, and he did tell me that they did have church, and they did change their minds, and they did open the doors. They did tell people not to come out of the way. Some people were mad that they told them that too late, but you know what? They did that. And I'm proud of him for it because there's something about it, you know, there's something about each church service I go to, no matter what it is. And I don't know if this is necessarily true. I haven't checked the statistics out with my dad's boss, but I'm pretty sure they are. I have this firm belief that out of every church service, every single church service that I sit in, that somebody really needed it. I'm not saying we all don't get something out of going to church. I mean, somebody really needed it. I bet you that after most church services, if not as they're leaving, sometime during the week, there's a call, there's an email, somebody stops by the office to tell my dad that they really enjoyed that service and it meant a lot to them because something was going on in their lives. Now, if you are a congregation member, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Dad has never even told me that. But I bet you, if I was a betting man, I'd put money down that does happen. So I hate it, especially after a major storm, if the church isn't open. So I'm very proud of them. I'm very happy that they were able to open the church. I'm glad nothing happened. But let me take you back to the wreck. So Dad and I are sitting there, and I look, and I'm thinking about how angry I am with this guy. And I promised Maria I wasn't going to go say something smart to him, and I wasn't going to, and I wasn't going to do it definitely in front of Bryn, but I wasn't going to, but I was really angry. You know, when you've been in a wreck, your adrenaline's just flowing. We all had major headaches, I think, from the adrenaline shooting through our bodies. But Dad and I were sitting there, leaned up against my crumpled trunk. And I look at this guy's son. And Dad says the words to me, I'm glad you're okay, because we can replace things, but we can't replace people. Same message he had, or part of the message he had that morning after Hurricane Hugo. And I saw the guy, and I saw his son, who I'm pretty sure was autistic. And the guy told the police officer he was completely at fault for both cars, and to write it up in the report that way, because something was going on with his son, and he was completely distracted. Now, something worse could have happened. Somebody could have died. Somebody could have been majorly hurt. My daughter could have, I can be hurt, but my daughter could have been hurt. You know, I just, ugh. But I looked at that guy, and I looked at his face, and I could kind of see how sorry he was. His son was okay. The firemen let him look at the truck. They obviously are trained in how to deal with kids with needs like that, and it was kind of neat to see the first responders do so well with him. But I felt for that dad. And it hit me. Here I am. I am, now that I know everybody is okay, I'm seriously just worried about me. The aggravation of having to get a rental car, of having to fight with the insurance company, of having to do all this. And I let it absolutely consume me too much. Instead of being patient with the situation and really look around at everything. Like that was the thing that I just did wrong. that was a thing that I should have been more firm with myself. Maria was a little firm with me on it, telling me not to go down there and like do something stupid. But I think that's where we go wrong. I remember breaking a rake after Hugo. I'm out there cleaning, and all I heard was, well, clean this and clean that. And I'm not talking about in a chore kind of way, but I'm looking around, sitting in a house with no electricity, out there working my butt off, cleaning the yard up, trying to figure out if, you know, I'm worried. I'm 11 years old. I don't know what in the world's going on. Like, is life going to be different? Are they going to have to like airdrop food to us for the next 3 years? I mean, you know, you don't know because you're a kid and you don't really understand these things. And I can't remember what was said to me, but I was just fuming. And finally, I was raking, and I took this rake and I just smacked it against the ground, broke it straight in half. I knew Dad was going to kick my ass. And he didn't. God just looked at me. He's like, I understand. We're all frustrated. Sometimes that little bit of patience goes a long way. You know, wherever you are in your life, yes, be firm in your convictions. Stand up for what you believe in. I'm not saying that. No matter what you're going through, don't be a doormat. Don't let people take advantage of you. Absolutely don't. But being patient with yourself and with other people goes such a long way. Such a long way. There's really nothing that you can do better for yourself when all hell is breaking loose. Not everything's going to be fixed in a minute. Not everything's going to go your way. Not everything's going to turn out well. It's just not. Be patient with who you are, where you are, and what's going on, and who you're with. I think after this political season, things should get a little bit better because we move into Thanksgiving and Christmas, and stuff will still be going on, and the world will still have its problems, but it'll continue to spin. And I hope that we're about to go into a period, once we get through all of this, that we can start being a little bit more patient with each other. Although I bet Dad would argue that this is the time of year that people aren't patient. I'm not quite sure. Maybe have him back on and ask him that question. But I think that one of the things we can do right now, and I'm not ripping on anybody that I see on my Facebook feed. I'm not. I mean, if I want to ignore your post, I'll just ignore your post. It's fine. But what it's doing to you, though, is probably not a good thing. Take a look at where you are. You know, I keep saying everything that's going on with the world, you can worry about the world or you can worry about your community. You know, why you're not going to change the world. I'll be honest with you. Whoever's president, I don't care what your friends on Facebook say. I don't care what Fox or CNN says. You can listen to me. How about this? How much has your life changed from Bush to Obama? Seriously. Oh, I mean, there have been changes. Some of you have been dinged for, you know, insurance stuff on your tax returns. Yeah, we can look at a lot of this stuff. Yeah. But as far as your daily life and where you are, unless you're a small business owner, like how much has it really affected you? How much more has your community leadership affected you? How about if you go out and do something in your community? How about if you go out and you focus on that? You're staying patient with where you are, with who you are, with what's going on and who you're with. That's what we really need to do. And I want to share one last thing with you too that has kind of gotten me through a couple of things lately. And a lot of you on this, listen to this, I know, don't pray. That's fine. I'm not going to tell you to. But when we look for things, when we look to change things, when we look to make things better, when we want to make things better instantly, sometimes it's kind of like you're trying to play God in your life. Like you're really trying to make everything happen like instantaneously. You want it now. Well, sometimes things just don't happen that way, and you can't do it. So you think of yourself as a failure because you haven't changed it that day. Well, you're going to keep failing then. If that's what you think is going to happen, you're just going to keep failing. I was going through kind of a rough day. Something happened at work a few weeks ago. I talked about it on the last show, but it was kind of a rough thing, and it kind of fed the next day into another kind of feeling. And I knew I needed to stop it because I didn't want that ball to keep snowballing into something bigger. And it was funny. Maria told me to do two things that day as I was leaving her place. She's like, I want you to do two things today. I want you to not let anything steal your joy today. Go out there, be happy, do what you do, be happy. And number two, don't try to play God. I didn't really know what she meant by that. I thought about it as I was driving, though. It doesn't mean that I have a God complex. I'm no cardiologist. I don't have one of those. But it was a different way to think about that. Like, you can't do what the big man does, so quit trying to do it. You just let him do his job. You go do yours. You take care of your stuff, and he'll take care of his. For those of you that are kind of that religious belief that listen to the show, I think sometimes we really don't do a good job with that. Sometimes we think we can be God, or we think we can tell God how to do his job. We can't. We shouldn't. Because number one, you're not going to do as good a job as he can. And number two, you miss out on how miraculous some of that stuff is. So, weathering the storm, getting through it, where you are in your life, where we are in a world right now, where we're going to be, the weather changes, people. It does. There may be a big, dark storm cloud over your life, but sunny days do come. But there will be dark clouds again. It's the way the world spins, man. And it's not that bad of a deal. It toughens you up. Man, life would be boring if you didn't have the ups and downs. I'm not saying go out there and start chasing tornadoes. But appreciate where you are. Be a little patient. Don't be complacent by any means. Don't be a doormat to somebody else. Have a little bit of patience. Stand firm in your convictions. And just let God do his job.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab, but if you'd like to throw the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your comments and questions to localbarmail@gmail.com. Thanks again for coming in. See you next week.
Yes, and come hell or high water, we will see you next week. Thanks for coming by. I really appreciate it. Got a good show lined up for next week. Look forward to a big weekend. I hope you have a fantastic one. Make sure you enjoy what's around you, people.